A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you always. Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. Those who do not love me do not keep my words. Yet the word you hear is not mine, but that of the Father who sent me. I have told you this while I am with you, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all I told you." The Gospel of the Lord. Well, today we're 50 days out from the resurrection at Easter Sunday. And we know that from that moment of the resurrection, Jesus continued to appear to the disciples, the apostles. He was seen by as many as 500 people during those days. And he was instructing them and reminding them of so many things. He forgave St. Peter. And he confirmed him as the head of his church. And he told him to go out and preach the gospel to all nations and baptize everyone in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. 10 days ago, right here, we celebrated the ascension of our Lord. At 40 days after the resurrection, he returned to heaven. And at that point, the apostles and Mary went back to the upper room, the cenacle, and spent 10 days in prayer, praying for the coming of the Holy Spirit. Up to this point, they were filled with fear, a good dose of excitement as well that Jesus had risen, but they didn't have clear, really, what they were to do. They had no idea, being simple men, that they could go out and evangelize an entire world and make everyone followers of Jesus Christ. I don't think they had any clue how to go about it. And they certainly didn't lose all their fear just because Jesus rose from the dead. Now he had ascended into heaven and they were feeling pretty alone and inadequate. But they did what Jesus said and they prayed for the coming of the Holy Spirit. And as the Acts of the Apostles we read describes it, they were all gathered in prayer in that upper room, and suddenly the whole building began to shake, and something like tongues of fire descended upon them. And suddenly they were able to overcome all fear. Suddenly they were able to go out and start to preach and speak of the great things that Jesus had taught them. That he was the Son of God and that forgiveness is possible in his name. And so they go out on this first missionary journey, you might say, and they're at the temple and they're preaching. And people are gathered there from many different nations. Jerusalem was a bit of a hub for many different nations would pass through. And people from all over were there. And a great miracle that happened that day is that each one could understand the apostles in their own language. That the Spirit allowed them to speak and then each one could comprehend. Now, this sounds like a really neat miracle because these apostles probably didn't speak anything except Greek, which was the common language of the day. And even the Greek that they had, the Greek that they wrote the New Testament in, was kind of really rudimentary Greek, basic Greek, that common people would speak. It wasn't the Queen's English, you know, if you know what I mean. But suddenly, all these people from different nations could understand them. So it's easy for us to look at this and say, well, that's a pretty neat miracle. It got them over the hump of trying to find translators, you know? But these days in 2025, maybe we're not so impressed with that because we can do that with our cell phones, you know, Google Translate, and all of a sudden it comes out. Oh, and there's a million apps that can get you, you know, through Paris or Istanbul or any other place you go visit, you can translate things. So is that what this miracle is all about? Just a translator? No. As usual, there's something much deeper and timeless in a miracle that God does. And to me, I've always seen this as a sign of something much more profound. Because he gave to those first missionaries the ability to speak in a way that people could understand. And this is a great challenge for us as we go into the world that doesn't share our values. How do we connect? How do we make the universal message of the gospel understandable to people from different cultures, from different races and times and periods of history? People with different backgrounds, maybe prejudices, maybe mental blocks. How do we get across to all those people who seemingly resist the basic Christian message and aren't turned on by it and excited about it? How do we speak to that relative or friend who's maybe been turned off by what they've seen of Christianity? How do we reach that sinner who seems so lost and hardened in their darkness that we can't penetrate those people with the liberating message of salvation? How do we reach the people say, what do I need salvation for? I'm doing just fine the way I am. This gift of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost gives each of us, if we depend on the Holy Spirit, the ability to speak into those issues. The prejudices and the negativity and the different cultures that the gospel is going to be required to penetrate. It makes the missionary able to discern how to speak, how to reach the others. It's a gift that we're all given, and we all receive baptism and confirmation. And it gave us the mission to go out and preach to all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But how do we do that? Yeah, by dependence on the Holy Spirit, allowing him room to work. You know, we had our Walk With One campaign, and we had 350 names submitted. The people you're praying for, people you're trying to discern how to speak to this person, how to win them back, how to bring them back to the Lord. Well, last night at the Spanish Mass, a man came forward who had only been baptized, and he had studied the RCAA classes a few years back, but never got around to getting confirmed, kind of cooled off. And one woman in the parish decided to make him and his wife her, well, walk with two, I guess, right? You know, the wife had, was pretty much on board, but this guy never bothered to get his confirmation and never get his marriage blessed by the church. And she worked on him patiently, 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 prayed for him, prayed for him. And she was able to reach him. And he agreed recently to be confirmed. And now they're going to have the marriage blessed. That's the kind of perseverance and ingenuity that the Holy Spirit will give us all, because we're all missionaries. And we've all got people that need us to nudge them in the right direction, to pray them back to the Lord. The second part of Pentecost, that's a gift for us as missionaries going out. The other gift that the Holy Spirit gives us on this Feast of Pentecost is expressed pretty much in this gospel we just read. And it's Jesus at the Last Supper promising that he will send the Holy Spirit. And he says, he will teach you everything and remind you of everything I told you. And this gift of the Holy Spirit is for all of us too, but in a much more interior and personal way. Because let's face it, every one of us here has to make a discernment on a constant basis of what we choose to do, how we choose to act. We're constantly trying to discern right from wrong, true from false. How do we please God versus how do we please others? And it's a discernment that maybe we don't pay enough attention to, but we should, because it's the work of our conscience. And if we're serious Christians, we need to be exercising our conscience all the time and always trying to choose the thing that would be pleasing to God. Even it might cost us something. It might be some disadvantage to us. And it would be maybe running counter to what most people would do. And the sign of a mature Christian is that they're always grappling with these things, trying to do the right thing. And Jesus, when he's promising the Holy Spirit, he's saying he will teach you everything I said to you and remind you of all I told you. And this is where the Christian life gets down to brass tacks, is when we get in the habit of invoking the Holy Spirit to help us make the right decision. Not the thing that's most expedient or convenient for us, or the easier thing, or the thing that's going to relieve us of any conflict or awkward moments, but the thing that is always closer to what God's will for us is. And for that, we need the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit helps us in that discernment. And not only discerning the truth, but the courage also to do it in practice, even when we have to pay a price for it. So these are the two great things that we get from the Holy Spirit. First, that symbolized by the flames coming down over the heads of the apostles, that fire to go out there to be missionaries and to be able to speak into the experiences of people that are so different. And then secondly, the personal gift, to be able to discern for ourselves what's true and what's false, what's good and what's wrong. Let's always call upon the Holy Spirit to guide us and to make us better missionaries.